Good morning. There are two stories that are on people's minds about these next couple weeks, at least on their minds more than normal on average. One of those stories is coming out here in a few weeks. Something you might be a little familiar with. I don't know if you know this guy. His helmet's a little crooked. Whoops. Star Wars is coming out this week. But more importantly to us, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. What do you see when you look at the nativity scene? What do you see when you look at this popular scene depicted in our culture this season? I'm going to tell you a story, and not just any story, but the greatest story ever worth telling. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he had finished creating the heavens and the earth, he said, "Let us make man in our image." And he creates Adam and Eve in the image of God. God also made the angels and the spirits. And one spirit in particular takes the form of a snake and comes and speaks to Adam and Eve. And he speaks lies and deception. And because of these lies and deceptions, Adam and Eve choose to sin against God. And because of sin, there's now separation between God and man. And God drives Adam and Eve out of the garden. But he's not content with just that situation. He makes a promise. He says, "I will put enmity between you," talking to Satan, "and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." 9 generations later, the world has become populated and has become evil. Every thought and action of man is wrong, except for one man named Noah. And God comes and speaks to Noah and tells him, "I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you." And God knows he has to keep his promise, that he's going to keep his promise. And so he saves Noah and his family when Noah faithfully builds the ark. 10 generations after Noah, an elderly couple, Abram and Sarai, later become known as Abraham and Sarah, they're very old and they have no children. They're far past the age of when they can have children. But God comes and tells Abram that if you go live in the land that I will call you to go to and you follow me faithfully, I will have your offspring be more numerable than the stars in the heavens, and your offspring more numerable than the sand of a seashore. And he also makes a promise to Abram, and he says, "And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abram goes and lives in the land and faithfully follows God, and lo and behold, they have a son, and his name is Isaac. And then Isaac has a son named Jacob. And through Jacob's life, he struggles with God, and God changes his name to Israel, which means one who struggles with God. And Israel has 12 sons. And he, at the end of his life, he blesses all 12 of his sons, but then he blesses one of his sons in a specific way. He blesses his son Judah, and he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." Israel and his 12 sons, they go and they settle in the land of Egypt. And for 400 years, generation after generation, they lived in this land, and they multiplied and they grew. And the Egyptians there began to fear the Israelites because they became in such great numbers, so that they enslaved them. And the Israelites are now enslaved to the Egyptians. But God remembers his promises. He remembers his promise. And he raises up a man out of Egypt into slavery named Moses. And if you remember Moses' story, the children were being slaughtered. The male children were being slaughtered in Egypt, the Israelite children. And Moses escapes through God's protection into the house of Egypt. And as Moses leads God's people out of Egypt and into the promised land, God makes a promise through Moses and says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from amongst you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." Along the way with Moses, God gives his people the law, in which they learn a system of sacrifice. And they learn that if they're going to be unfaithful, that they're going to be taken away to captivity, conquered by other nations. But if they're faithful, then God will protect them and bless them. God also teaches them to build a tabernacle, a place of worship where God will be with them. But also he tells them to build a veil, a giant curtain separating where God resides and where men worship. Tells them, "You shall hang the veil from the clasp and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil, and the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy." So God is with them, but he has to remind them that there is still separation between God and man. 260 years after this, a young boy kills a giant soldier who mocks God. And out of faith and zeal, God conquers through this boy. And this boy's name is David. And he grows up to be a man after God's own heart. And God makes him king of Israel and tells him, "Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever." And God tells his people, "My people are going to have a king forever and a throne that will never vanish." But just as the Israelites learned from the law of Moses that if they are unfaithful to God, that they're going to be conquered, and 200 years after David, it happens. Israel has been taken over by the Babylonian Empire. But God remembers his promise, and he speaks through his prophets about things to come, encouraging his people and trying to have them to turn back to him. And he speaks through his prophet Isaiah, and he tells them, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive a son and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And with many other signs and prophecies were written through Isaiah. And 200 years after this, again, Israel is taken into captivity. And a man named Daniel sees a vision from God. And this is one of my favorite visions. He sees a vision of a giant statue with a head of gold, which represents the Babylonian Empire. And he sees on this statue the chest and the arms are silver, which represents the Medes and the Persians. And he sees bronze waist and thigh, which represents the Greeks. And then he sees legs of iron, which represents the Roman Empire. And he sees a stone that's cut not from human hands strike the statue and destroys it. And this stone cut not by human hands then grows into a mountain, which then covers the whole world. And he tells the king of Babylon, he says, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It will break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." So Daniel and now God's people know that it's at this kingdom that something not made by human hands is going to come into the world and establish a kingdom forever. At the same time, 100 miles away in the city of Jerusalem, another prophet receives a vision. His name's Ezekiel. And God shows him a vision of a valley of dry bones, skeletons everywhere. And through God's word, these skeletons start coming together. And then flesh grows upon them. And then skin covers them. And then God's Spirit comes on these bodies and they become living people. And God tells Ezekiel, I will put my Spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land and you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. For the next 150 years after this, God continues to give prophecy, continues to show there's something coming. I have made a promise and I'm going to keep it. And there are over 300 prophecies about Christ that are fulfilled. And I wish I had time to go into all of them. But then there's 400 years of silence, of waiting. And in the town of Bethlehem, something happens that never has happened before, where God himself, out of humility and love, steps into the world of man. And for a brief moment of time, all-powerful, star-creating, universe-making God becomes the youngest thing on the planet. And at his coming, angels proclaim his presence. Luke 2, verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Can you imagine being one of those shepherds listening and seeing this? This is definitely not just any man. So this child, this special king, grows up. And about 30 years old, he goes to fulfill his mission. As soon as he begins his mission, he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he is tempted by the Spirit, Satan. The same Satan that tempted Adam and Eve in the garden tempts Christ in the wilderness. And for 40 days, he was tempted, and he never faltered. He relied on God's will. And after 40 days, Satan departed. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Jesus then spends the next 3 years preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And he heals the sick. He opens the eyes of the blind. He heals the lame. He casts out demons. He calms storms. He raises the dead. And there's never been a man like this before. Jesus had 12 disciples that were very close to him, that followed him. One of them, his name is Judas. And Judas struggled with greed. And he was covetousness. He was covetous. And Satan entered Judas's heart, and Judas betrays Jesus. He sells him out for 20 pieces of silver, and he is handed over to murderous authorities. One of the Roman authorities there is Pilate, and Jesus is brought before Pilate. And Pilate's questioning Jesus, trying to figure out who he is and why are the Jewish leaders trying to kill him. And this is their conversation. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus said, You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. This next part to this day still breaks my heart. Jesus is then led to the cross and crucified. And as he's hanging there, it would seem like Satan has won. But when Jesus dies, when he gives up his spirit, the sins of the world die with him. And the sky darkens, and the earth quakes, and that veil that God had the Israelites set up, God himself tears from top to bottom because the price has been paid. And now there is no more separation between God and man. And on 3 days, Jesus then comes back from the dead. He is raised. And for 40 days, he appears to his disciples and to over 400 people in Jerusalem. Jesus then ascends after 40 days to heaven and sits at the right hand of God. And he sends the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which we have received through faith and obedience and baptism. The same Spirit that we have today as Christians. And now that which is dead now has life. Just like that vision in Ezekiel has now become fulfilled. We have received the Spirit, and what is dead is now alive. In Christ, the garden relationship has been restored. We can pray to God anytime, and he hears us. We walk with him every day. We have his Spirit within us, and when we die, we go into eternal life with him. We have eternal life, abundant life in Christ. Jesus also promises that he's going to come back. And he's going to take the faithful to be with him forever. We will be with the promise-keeping, loving, eternal King, Jesus. This is a true story. And this is your story. During this holiday season, when you see the nativity scene, know that God keeps his promises. And that the entire Old Testament, the entire Bible, is about bringing us back to him. To this day, God loves you. And he wants you to know that he wants you back. It's not just a cute little farm scene. It's our God stepping into the world to bring us back to him. He loves you, and he wants you to be with him forever. And he will go through thousands of years of faithfulness and sacrifice to bring us to him. And I hope that's something we never forget. If there's anyone here that has any needs, if there's anyone that needs any prayers or assistance or help of any form or fashion, we want to serve each other and serve the people of this community. If there's any way we can help, please come forward while we stand and sing.